Zechariah 9:1 through 10:12. Devotional focus verse. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. Zechariah 10:6. In today's text, we read of a future time when God will gather the Jewish people from around the world into Israel in great numbers. God himself will dwell there with his redeemed ones, and the young and old will mingle together on the streets of Jerusalem. As I read about this gathering of God's people that will occur in the end times, it made me think of camp meeting, an annual event that perhaps is a little foretaste of that great future assembly. I don't remember my first camp meeting. I was just a week old when my parents carried me onto the Portland campground on the opening Sunday of camp that year. However, I do remember an event that took place there exactly 3 years later. My third birthday was celebrated in tent, now cabin, number 785. I have another vivid camp meeting memory going to the airport to meet Brother Timothy Oshikoya, leader of the Apostolic Faith Work in Nigeria, when he arrived to attend the convention in Portland. International travel was rare back then, and our family was excited to welcome him. I was caught up in the anticipation too, even though I was still very young. I remember peering between the adults gathered at the airport and asking, "Where's Brother Timothy? Where's Brother Timothy?" Finally, someone picked me up and I was face to face with him. I will never forget his wonderful, wide smile. Looking back, I am sure he was as thrilled to be joining the people of God at camp meeting as we were thrilled to have him come. Camp meeting is still my favorite event of the year, and fellowshipping with the first-time visitors and longtime friends remains one of its special joys. Fellowship occurs as we sit side by side in a service, pray together around the altars, visit as we relax on the benches scattered around the grounds, share meals in the fellowship lodge, or enjoy snacks in the kitchenettes. And best of all, God himself meets with us. Just as we look forward to camp meeting, we can look forward to when God establishes his millennial kingdom on this earth. That feeling of anticipation should encourage our hearts. We may be facing opposition and challenges today, as the people of Judah did during Zechariah's day. However, someday every battle, every disappointment, and every trial will be in the past. The Jewish people will be restored to their land, united in worship of their deliverer, and their Messiah will be our king as well. What joy and fellowship will be ours in that day when we all worship him together. Background information. Today's text begins the second part of this book. This section contains two groupings of prophecies, chapters 9 through 11 and chapters 12 through 14. Both are designated as burdens, messages of God's judgment or a prophecy of a calamitous nature. Bible scholars agree that these were written much later than those in the first section. Chapter 9 highlights how God will bring Israel to a place of final holiness. Although Jerusalem and the temple had been rebuilt when these chapters were written, the city was surrounded by hostile neighbors. In verses 1 through 8, God indicated that the nations of Syria, represented by Hadrach, Damascus, and Hamath, and Phoenicia, identified by the cities of Tyrus and Sidon, would come under the judgment of God. The destruction of Tyrus and Sidon would be an example to Philistia, represented by the cities of Ashkelon, Ekron, Gaza, and Ashdod, and cause great fear there. Verse 7 indicates that God would end the Philistine practice of consuming blood with idolatrous sacrifices and would remove the abominations, things offered to idols. A remnant of the Philistines, however, would turn to God, and those few would be accepted as a Jebusite, ancient inhabitants of Jerusalem who were integrated into the population as equal citizens. Verse 8 promised God's protection of Judah while the prophesied destruction occurred all around them. This portion of the oracle was partially fulfilled at the time of Alexander the Great's conquest of the eastern Mediterranean coastal lands in 333 BC. While he did pass by Jerusalem more than once, he never came against the city. The fact that Jerusalem has been defeated and destroyed since that time indicates that the statement that no oppressor shall pass through them, that is Israel, anymore, will not be fulfilled until the nation's ultimate deliverance in the end times. Next, Zechariah looked ahead to the two comings of the Messiah. Verse 9 foretells a notable event that occurred about 500 years later, Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Matthew 21:1-11. The lowly nature of the Messiah's coming at that time is contrasted with the power and glory of his coming in the end times when he will usher in an era of peace. In that day, war and its implements will be eliminated throughout Israel. Ephraim, representing the northern kingdom, and Jerusalem, representing Judah, and from sea even to sea, the whole earth. Verses 11 through 17 foretell deliverance for Israel. Because God had made a covenant with his people, identified as prisoners of hope, he promised to free them from the pit, or exile, and commanded them to return to their place of safety in Jerusalem. In graphic language, Zechariah told of a time when God would use his people as weapons against Greece, representing all Hellenists in the Mediterranean area. Most scholars agree these prophecies were partially fulfilled by the Maccabees, a priestly family of Jews who organized a successful rebellion against Antiochus IV and reconsecrated the defiled Temple of Jerusalem in 167 through 160 BC. Verses 16 through 17 foreshadow Christ's future victory over evil, the preciousness of God's people, and the beauty of the restored land of Israel. Chapter 10 begins with an additional allusion to the prosperity and blessings described at the end of chapter 9. Verses 2 through 3 are a warning against turning away from God. Israel had trusted the guidance of idols and diviners and had been led by them into destruction. God was angry at Israel's shepherds, or leaders, and he punished the goats, the chief civic and political leaders who had led the people in defecting from God. Verse 4 indicates that out of the people of Judah, God would provide a conqueror. Various figures of speech are used to describe the Messiah, corner, the chief or head, nail, a fixed and secure leader, and battle bow, portraying reliability for defense. Bible scholars agree that the phrase, out of him every oppressor together, is challenging. The word oppressor may refer to the authority over civil affairs. Verses 5 through 7 continue the thought of Israel's future victory over her enemies. God will transform his people into mighty warriors who will be invincible because the Lord is with them. God himself will strengthen those from Judah and Israel and treat them as though they had never been unfaithful to him. They will fill the land and become a strong and happy people. Verses 8 through 10 concern the Messiah's regathering of his people. The word hiss refers to a method of summoning, such as a whistle used by a shepherd to call his flock. I will sow them indicates that God will multiply the influence of Israel. Egypt and Assyria, see verses 10 through 11, represent the oppression from which Israel will be delivered. Gilead and Lebanon denote the territory on both sides of the Jordan River, which was part of Israel's original inheritance. The Messiah will regather so many people that Israel's land will no longer be sufficient, so Israel's boundaries will be expanded. Verses 11 through 12 affirm that God will end the bondage and oppression that Egypt and Assyria symbolically represent. Just as God's people had been led by Moses through the sea of affliction in the past, God will again deliver them, and they will walk in liberty. Conclusion. The Jewish people have been scattered throughout the world for many centuries, but one day God will reunite the remnant of his people in the land of Israel. What a great day that will be!